So, like I mentioned, my major actually is occupational safety and ergonomics. And I have been involved in research about construction workers for like 4 years, which is supported by NIOSH. So we use the observational ergonomics exposure assessment method to quantify the exposure. And we also do something like biomechanics to testing the muscle activities for like knee kickers, which are some tools construction workers use on site. I personally have at least 700 hours experience on site. I mean, we talk with the construction workers during their work, during their lunchtime. We interview them, we have focus groups. So, and, but this presentation actually is a part-time job because I come from China. I feel there are so many differences between this country and China, just so many differences. I ask so many naive questions like, what is union? What is worker compensation? Something like that. I mean, so this is not a very serious research, but I hope I can give you guys a pretty quick snapshot about what's going on in that far, far, you know, away country. Construction is one of the biggest industrial, not only here in this country, but also in China. As you can tell, 2 years ago, this industry hired 33 million construction workers, and also it's contribute a lot to the economic. It's pretty clear there's a trend that the construction industry will booming because it's very different with this country. I mean, I heard something like back to the beginning of World War II, people actually moved from the city to the countryside. But right now in China, it's like people move from the countryside to the cities. It's a little bit slower right now, but still every year 15 million people move from the countryside to the city. What do they need? The first thing they need is apartment. It's not like here everybody want a house, you know, with backyard, you can walk your dog or something. People need apartment in China. So that's one of the reasons why I said construction will still booming, but also some other like a commercial building, something like that. I tried pretty hard to find some very solid data about this like fatal data, but it's pretty hard to get it. This is the only thing I got right now from the government website. I'm very jealous about all the data source Dr. Dong just mentioned, tens of data source, but according to the data source in China, it's pretty hard to get it. And the purpose of this slide is to compare China and Americans, say, to tell people China right now is in a pretty bad position, but I didn't compare because if I calculate the death rate, it turns out to be China actually does a better job, much better job than American. So I will put a question mark here because the accident report system, the lots of reasons like that. One of the biggest interesting point is the migrant workers in China. Let me explain just a little bit. So this concept here means the construction workers leave their hometown, move into a brand new city like Beijing or Shanghai, some big city. So they disconnect with their family. Most of them does not bring their children, does not bring their parents with them. They just rent a small house and live in a brand new city. They cannot speak the local language. Don't get me wrong. Mandarin is a general standard language, but we China has tens of dialects. People barely can understand each other. It's quite possible they cannot understand each other at all. And they save every penny they can save for their children's education and for their elder relatives' medication just because the social security system in China. So 16% of migrant workers go for construction. The number one is a manufacturing. And it turned out to be over 75 of construction workers are migrant workers. And the number was higher from the other data source. Male are more than female, and most of them are pretty young. You can tell from 16 to 40. And because of the free 9-year education in China, so most of them still can read. So that's the general education. But how about the professional education? The government published a report mentioned that over half of those migrant workers have no skill training at all. And according to the construction industry, there is a survey there mentioned only 2% of the general construction workers had technical training. Those are about the general construction workers. It's like rebar workers, carpenters. But I know here in this country, we have a different system aimed to different level of construction workers. We have a apprenticeship training. We have a license requirement. For some, even we have a certification system. Like for rebar worker here, I know in Massachusetts, it suggests at least 200 hours classroom training. But in China, like rebar workers, you just go, you just do whatever you do. You learn everything on site. There are some experienced workers can teach you how to do that. But basically, the professional education is a huge problem in China. Uni is a very interesting issue here. Believe or not, there's 117 million uni members in China. That's from the one of the other report. And all the trade unions in mainland China belongs to this organization called the All China Federation of Trade Unions. But what I gotta say is, because I've been here like four years, and I talk with uni members a lot because we recruit the research subjects for my project through the union. We talk with the union and then we get it. So just my opinion, this union in this country is so different with union in China. So there's a paper mentioned that, I didn't say that, the paper mentioned the basic political principle of a union is to accept the leadership of the government. And the construction workers belongs to the National Committee of Chinese Seamen and Construction Worker Union. I tried to find some detailed data from their website, but I just failed. Six years ago, China government launched this injury insurance regulation. Probably, I would say maybe 60 years later than this country. And the government report mentioned only 15% of migrant workers were covered. And also, according to the construction industry, I found a survey in Beijing, which is the capital of China. In the other words, supposed to do a better job, but still only 20 of construction workers were covered by the workers' compensation. And this study comes with a survey. 90% of the participants of the study mentioned it's pretty hard to apply. And it's easy for me to understand, because I mentioned that before. They are migrant workers. They barely speak their local language. I mean, they only have like a middle school education. And also in China, lawyer and insurance is pretty brand new concept. Even my parents have no idea about insurance. They just, like I mentioned, they just save money. They think they should do everything by themselves. It's just like, I would say there should be a process of education the population to accept all the new ideas. And that number there is, I just found it. It's one-time accident and death. Which means, it should not say that, but it looks like the value of your life is like $18,000. So I just kind of like wrap up. So lots of migrant workers there, and they leave their hometown, and they just go to work without, you know, appropriate professional training. So pretty easy to get injured. And after they got injured, they couldn't find some, you know, really powerful association like a union to help them. And after injury, it's not very easy to get their money back from the worker compensation system here. Like here, I know maybe sometimes will take you like 3 years to get it, but in China, it maybe like take forever. So. What I will say is I will say training. I always think training is a pretty good idea to do that, especially for a country at a very bottom, very low level, should require every construction workers to have like a 20 hours classroom training and some very basic occupational safety and industrial hygiene training. And also workers' compensation should follow. And especially for the data things, I think they should do more about this accident report work, because as long as you have this all the data, you have the distribution of all the injuries, you have a better idea which direction you should go, which part of this industry needed to be paying more attention, and maybe in the future the unions can play a bigger role. Thank you.
Any questions to the presenters? Go ahead.
I have a question at the bottom. So great presentation as always. I was wondering about the increase in fatalities among the construction workers. Could that be a denominator issue? I mean, because if you die on the job, you tend to get noticed from the numerator, but if you're in the informal economy, you may not get counted as a denominator.
No, I agree. That's the first thought I had, and we've gone back and rechecked, and at least the first simple answer doesn't appear to be. And I would think that it would tend to bias the other way, because Hispanic workers, I would think, tend to be undercounted. So I don't think so. But yeah, that's obviously one of the thoughts we want to go back and check.
Any other comments and questions? Okay.
Tish. Yeah. One of the things we do, the Census of Fatal Occupational Injuries in Massachusetts, and they are now introducing new variables, and one of them is unionization. But it's going to be a voluntary variable, not mandatory. But we are going to be piloting in Massachusetts next year. But we actually need the help of the labor movement when we're doing this, because when we get newspaper reports and death certificates, none of our sources necessarily have that information. And if we're doing a face investigation, investigation route in the field than we know, but we only do case for 8 out of 70 deaths. So we have to figure out a way to determine union status for all the other deaths. And we're going to need to, like, call the state. I mean, I don't know how we do it, and I welcome any thoughts about how to do that. Because it is, all the states are going to be piloting it, or at least being included as a voluntary variable.
Over there.
Do I have a?
Female.
Yeah, female like 30 something. 37 something, I think. 35.
Okay. Yeah. Over there?
Yeah, for the study on the union, non-union workers, were there any questions, and did you get a feeling for? This kind of idea that what pretty much every worker, especially construction worker, knows, nobody can protect you like you can yourself. So for some sort of control over the actual job that you're doing, did you get a feeling, or did your questionnaires kind of get at that at all? Like for the union workers, I've got a contract, I've got some job security, I got a little control here, as opposed to non-union workers, but these non-union workers are really apprentices, right?
Well, they were first-year apprentices, so they just started.
Yeah, the reason they were there, was that they wanted to be union workers, right?
Right.
Well, I was a non-union plumber for 9 years, and one of the things I found out working with both usually other non-union construction guys. Was that I controlled my life on the job. I didn't, I didn't have a boss, and I wasn't one. So, and I didn't get hurt. I didn't get hurt because I had some real control over my workplace. I didn't have to do anything in the city. And most people in the construction world, that's where they start. That's where they start. Do I have any control over the situation? And union guys know that they do. They have it through their contract, they have it through their training, they have it through a lot of avenues. So did your study get after that, idea at all?
It didn't. I mean, it's a good point that you raised, but I do also think that unionized guys on union sites, or guys where there's, both union, non-union working side by side, that there's even among the union construction workers, there's still this issue of, if I don't follow the safety rules and regulations that this company wants, I'm off the job anyway.
Yeah.
So there's certainly, the idea of having control, whether you're union or non-union, I think there's similar thinking on both sides that you can easily be removed from a job if you're, not following the guidelines of, in the case of a union job, if they're both guys on the job, you can be kicked off the job for not following company requirements for safety precautions. But we didn't specifically ask that question, and that would certainly be, to do some sort of industrial psychology assessment of locus of control or whatever on union, non-union construction workers would probably be a useful thing to do.
Yeah, well, I think, someday we need to really measure that, right? And, what kind of, when workers really know what their rights are, the Center to Protect Workers' Rights, when those workers really know what their rights are, they know they've got some control, and that counts for a lot.
So any other questions, comment? Oh, okay, over there.
Okay,
last question.
Hey, Bob, So we're going to go ahead and verify it again. I mean, I want to double check. Maybe talk to Dr. Dung to see whether on the national level, it looks like he has some national data, whether it looks the same. If it holds up in my mind, it is a shift in my thinking, because I've been thinking we should focus on Hispanic construction fatalities with, you know, certain, and that's what we've been doing, quite honestly. But
that's what we've been doing as well.
Right, but maybe we just can focus on construction fatalities and look at particular causes.
In a strong case.
Yeah, so I don't know, Walter. I don't know, though. I'm not quite sure.
Data in the local level, probably because the number of fatalities is rather small, so we're floating year by year.
Although we did a 3-year run-in
because of that.
Thank you all.